Hey, big announcement out of Lincoln. George Strait, who I thought had gone on his retirement tour. George Strait is back. He'll be at Pinnacle Bank Arena coming up in April of next year. They never leave. They never leave. That final tour, they always want one more. And then when it's over, they want one more. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would want one more, two more, three more from Saturday. Here is Matt Verzal. Matty V, how was your weekend?
Good, Sharpie. How was your weekend?
When you that thing between 11 and about 2:30 on Saturday kind of geared where my weekend was going. But, you know, we got up today and we moved forward.
Yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes. It wasn't the most fun weekend after that, but we all packed up and kept her moving.
There's no way to spin it. That was a bad loss.
Yeah. Yep. When everything was headed in a good direction, that was definitely an egg that you did not want to lay.
Why do you think it happened?
If we had that answer, we would probably not have to have these discussions.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
I don't know. Maybe it was looking, trying to get to the off week. Maybe it was, hey, we've turned a corner. We're good to go. We don't have to do what we normally had to do. I wish I had an answer for you, my man. It was a baffling performance to me after things had seemed to be going in a good direction.
In a game that wasn't winnable and then became winnable in the second half because the defense woke up, and I think they probably had a come-to-Jesus discussion in the locker room at halftime, and they came out and allowed 5 first downs in the second half. And they gave up one touchdown, and that was in, unfortunately, you knew Minnesota was going to run it. You were in a base defense. They broke a long one. They got in the end zone. The other points in the second half were a safety. So a very winnable game where you had 2 points on a safety, you had a mixed extra point as one, missed field goal 3, and then on 3rd and 4th and goal, you couldn't get into the end zone. So there's 7. So add those up, even a couple of them, and you find a way to win the football game. What do you think happened? Let's go back. Let's go first half. What do you think Nebraska's plan offensively was to begin that game?
I think that question therein lies the problem. I don't know what it was. If you watch Minnesota, right? Minnesota had have attack. They knew where they wanted to go. They knew what they wanted to do, and they did it. I thought we were back to, kind of choppy play calls, and things weren't as crisp as they normally are. So I don't even have words anymore. I don't know. It didn't look like it was well prepared.
Well, The first drive to go run the option, and Adrian was on a bad wheel, so you knew that coming into the game, but yet that was your first play, and then you went with a couple of incomplete passes, and they were either catchable or overthrown to just hand Minnesota. I mean, what Minnesota wanted to do was not a mystery. They wanted to be able to run the football and play field position and eat up the clock. And Nebraska in the first half just played right into their hands. So while we look at what you think, trying to figure out what Nebraska offensively was trying to do, what was your assessment on the way Minnesota played on Saturday? Because I think we spend a lot of time on one side talking about Nebraska, but I think we have to tip the cap. Minnesota did enough and had a good enough game plan to begin the game that got them to a 21-9 lead that they deserve some credit as well.
Yeah, Minnesota just stuck to the plan. They knew what they wanted to do. They went out and did it, and it wasn't pretty at times, but win adverse things happen. they just kind of kept it moving. You know what I mean? Like, something went bad, they just kept going. And that's, you know, you have to like that mindset out of it, and you would like to see things evolve to that. You know, and their coach alluded to it. It was culture over skill. And you know, Nebraska is a more talented team, but the culture of the program, each program, it's different. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. They're just in different places right now.
So let's stick with that. And that's Fleck made that comment after the game that it was culture against skill, and he's being crushed in the Minneapolis St. Paul media because they think it's disrespecting to his team, who they've got skill guys on it. But there's a lot of history. He's not fully embraced up there. I'll get into this a little bit later. But the one thing, I think, as you look at the West Division, there's not a lot of teams in the West Division that can just light switch you and all of a sudden it's 52-17, like an Ohio State can. That's one of the rare teams in this conference that can just snap their fingers and they've got four touchdowns on the board before you scored one. So you know you're going to play a lot of tight games where it's going to come down to details, mistakes, but you've got to be smart because games aren't going to get away from you in the West Division. You're not running into teams that are going to blow you out. So I think Minnesota is built and they play like they know they're going to play narrow games every week. That's kind of a Fleck line because it's got Roe in it. I'm not kidding. Is Nebraska Vers capable of building a roster and playing with a mindset that they're going to be in 7 to 10 point games every week in this division?
If that is the plan and that's the direction that it could head, then some philosophical changes probably have to happen, and it's not hard to do. Like, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be so pinpoint and precise with things that you can't do what Nebraska does at times and shoot itself in the foot. You know, we had put the boots away for a little bit. We broke them back out. And a lot of the things that ailed Nebraska were all self-inflicted again. So it was just a thing that it was reverting back to the old. And it's, you know, again, I still maintain it. There's changes that have nothing to do with X's and O's, Jimmy's and Joe's. It's how things are prepared. It's how it's the expectation of, you know, what Nebraska football should be and how you prepare for that and how those things then are executed every Saturday. It's any play that's called is a play. I've yet to be on a staff where someone drew a play and said, boy, this is really going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to run this one for -6 yards. You know, it's a marriage and it's a chicken and an egg and it's all any cliche you want to throw on. But all that stuff has to factor in, but it's got to be so well prepared situationally that you know, hey, we're in one tonight. We need to get it going, and we can't. We don't have room for error.
Fourth and one, shotgun. Fourth and one, center. I think this is probably a leading question for you, but walk me through the mindset of if you think being in the shotgun, and Nebraska's not alone in this. I mean, I watched a full day of Saturday and a full day of Sunday, and there's a lot of teams that if they're fourth and one, instead of having Tom Brady to sneak it forward or Big Ben, they go in the shotgun. If you are going with the mindset that that's the best option on fourth and one is to snap it backwards instead of snap it and move forward, why is that the best option, do you think, that teams do that?
I got over the under center, not under center thing a long time ago because I don't piss into the wind. You know, if that's the mindset of the team and of the organization, and you saw it, you know, it worked at Michigan State. But and if Yant doesn't trip over his feet, you know, he probably scores. I thought at the point of contact it was decently blocked. He's a big back and he's gonna drive his legs mm-hmm. if I get in the end zone. But none of that happens, so it opens you up for the spotter. For me, I'm from a different era and a different time. That's under center, get foot to foot. We're stronger than you. We're just going to sneak behind everybody and roll in the end zone. But that's not the way it goes. I just, in that instance, it's just an inopportune time to trip. And, you know, I think Ramir Johnson had just been hurt, or had he been out a play or two before that? I can't remember.
He had just gotten hurt.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's your first play in the game. You're all amped up. You're about to score a touchdown, and then you take a step and trip and give us something to talk about on Monday.
Now, in that case, that was going to be a touchdown. I mean, if he doesn't trip, that's going to be a touchdown. And that's not something when you call in the play, okay, we've got a factor in here. If Yant trips at the four, is he going to have enough momentum going forward that he's at least going to land in the end zone? You can't plan for that. But it's a thing that in football, it's just, I mean, I think it's influenced in the NFL. I'm watching Tua yesterday. They've got fourth and short, and he's in the gun. And what happens? They get stopped. I don't get why not go under center on fourth and one, and especially when you're on the goal line. Unless you think that your offensive line can't get that much of a push, that you got to find a running back that at least has a couple yard head start where he's got his momentum going forward, that he can at least barrel into the end zone. That might open up another discussion here in the bye week that has kind of been happening and has to be resolved as we move through the last part of the year is, what is the trust on the five up front? When you need something, you can go get it and you can rely on them.
Yeah. I mean, an analytics guy will say, well, you eliminate the chance of risk by just taking the snap and going. I think it was, I mean, I hung up on a guest on Husker Hangover when, you know, they played Purdue and they had it first and goal at the two and they threw it three times. And the guest told me that was great play calling. I just hung up. Right? Like, it was for your coach trust you, he's got to put you in that position, right? He put them in that position, and unfortunately what happened to it was out of their hands to control. I, like I've said on numerous occasions, there's some of their play designs I absolutely love, and it just, at that point in time and that play, it wasn't executed, and it's a trip and a fall, and it sucks, but it is what it is.
Hey, does your gut tell you, Matt Verzal joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show, your gut tell you that the reaction of guys after the game, 8 games, 8 weeks, now what's ahead and still not bowl eligible, do you have any fear that this team has hit the wall?
If you have, you're probably in the wrong business. You know, that's your job, right? That's your gig, like you're supposed to. You're supposed to want to play every week, and you're supposed to want to, you know, go do all those things. And if you're tired, I guess it is what it is. But, you know, I would rather have them. I don't know. If you've ever played, okay, and anything, or done anything you've loved, as a kid, as a teenager, as a college person, everything's going to come to an end. You're not going to get to play that in that form with that set of people ever again. Okay? And those feelings and that awesomeness that is being able to compete in college sports. And this isn't just, you know, with guys from my era who had a crazy, crazy amount of success. Okay? This is my buddies from the teams on the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, you know, and in the 2000s. Like, you have so many limited options and so many limited opportunities to play with your friends and go out and just have an absolute blast. And if you're looking, you know, to be tired and sore, then, you know, maybe it is a different world. Maybe it is. But to a man, I'd say you probably go ask some guys that have played anything in the past, basketball, football, baseball, volleyball, tennis, all that stuff, they'd go back and do it again in a second. And they do some things different without a doubt. So I don't think they're tired. I don't think they're you know, beat up. It's just, you got to appreciate the opportunities and that they are so you know, few and far between once it's over. You know, they don't, I tell the boys this all the time, listen, My job is to tell you where to go. I cannot suit up and go play with you. They will arrest me before I get out on the field. Like you have an opportunity to go have an absolute blast with your buddy for 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go have a hell of a time. And if you need time off from that, then maybe it's some self-evaluation that needs to happen.
At this point in the year where you have eight, you've played eight, you've got four left, how do you get better at this point of the year? Or do you think this team is what they are? They've got some pluses, they've got some minuses, but this is just who they're going to be. Or how do you find the opening to get guys better? Do you see guys getting better at the tail end of the season? Or are you kind of, you are a finished product, you're just now going to play four games and have to find the math to win those games?
Every day you get up, you get to lift your head off the pillow, you got two options. You get better, you get worse, but you never stay the same. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And getting worse happens. But for those that want to be great, you know, Deion Sanders had the thing that he put out the video, and, you know, here's the problem. Nobody wants to be great. Okay? If you like the result that you're getting, then get out of the game. Okay? If you don't like the results you're getting, then start with the man in the mirror. What can I do to change it? Because you don't know if your behavior then leads to someone currently on your team that you play with a lot or somebody younger than you that says, you know what? These guys over here, the loss doesn't bother them. They're hamming it up. They're having a great old time. We just lost by 14 points because I'm not counting the last one. You lost by 14 points to Minnesota because I'm tired of the loss to games by 7-point narrative crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you lost. That's it. Okay? So I'm gonna pattern my behavior after that guy who's trying to figure out why it's a loss and what can he do to change it. Okay? You never know who's watching. And I need this. I need to live my life this way because I've had some bad days recently. I've just been stressed to all get out. But you never know who's watching and who's going to pattern their behavior after you. If you can influence like two or three young guys on your team and they start to carry that behavior and they influence two or three young guys on the team after them, now you've got a bunch of guys that want to prepare and almost over-prepare to go play and be successful and not have to answer these questions of how you lost to Minnesota again and you know, your skill wasn't as good as their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those kind of things have to start to happen in there, and I don't know who leads the – here, I'll just throw it right in your face. I don't know who rows Nebraska's boat. I don't. I don't know what player does. I don't know what coach does. I don't know who does.
And
maybe that explains a lot of the way it goes why it goes.
No, you. That's a very valid concern, and especially in a time like this where, man, if I'm a guy that came back for my sixth year and it was to improve my stock but also to go to a bowl game, and now I'm staring at doing something that this program hasn't done in a while and is win back-to-back games, you know, they don't win road games very regularly, beat ranked teams, man, I wonder, you know, where I'm at, if I'm grabbing people and bringing them along, or is there somebody else that's going to say, hey, let's play for that guy over there because he's been balling out all year and I don't want to let him down. Yeah, it's an uncomfortable when you have a game like Saturday where it reminds you too much of the past, man, it's uncomfortable again. But it's also reality again, which I thought we were starting to inch past with this football program. So it's, you know, it's a weird spot to be in. It's an uncomfortable spot, and there's only one way to get out of it, and that is to perform and win football games, and there's nothing that says in the DNA right now that you can do that consistently over the last month of the season, and that sucks.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that hurts the most, is things were being strung together, right? So you're watching progress. You're watching, you know, things move in a great direction. Okay, so you're hanging with Michigan, right? You're
mm-hmm.
giving yourself a chance to win. And then you're saying, okay, if we play in the same manner we played against Michigan, I think we have a great opportunity to win a game on the road. So exercise that demon, beat PJ Fleck, shut him up, and then go from there, right? And then when nothing in that game looked remotely like anything we had seen the weeks before, now the question bugs arise back up. What's different? What's this? Yeah. What's that? Why this? And now you get all this crap. And that I think is the part that stings the most. Because you saw a little glimmer of light at the end of a long, long tunnel. And what it really was a train that was a lot closer than you thought it was, and it ran you over and kicked you back to where you started from.
Yeah. Verz, as always, I appreciate the insight and the passion, and I know helping us try and get answers to this. Good luck this weekend as the regular season wraps up. You guys have a great rivalry game with Elkhorn. That should be a fun game on Friday night.
Yeah, should be a fun one. They got some big dudes. Yeah, there's no joke in there for Elkhorn. I don't know what the water's out there, but it's pretty good stuff.
Hey, Class B, the Class B postseason is going to be quite intriguing. There, you could make a case for multiple teams that could win Class B this year.
You could. I don't know how many multiples you got, but the top two are pretty damn good. I'm not gonna lie. Top two have no problem playing some old school gangster punching in the mouth football, which is always fun for me to see.
All right, Verz, as always, appreciate it. Great stuff on Husker Hangover, as always. It's not always the most entertaining after. Well, sometimes it'll be entertaining after a loss, but it's can be somewhat depressing with reality. But as always, I appreciate it on Monday.
Thanks, boys.
That's Matt Verzal. You can follow him on Twitter at Verz51, Husker Hangover. Let's get into Saturday and now moving forward, because you have to move forward, even with the bye week. And I think this is a huge week for Nebraska. I think this is a coach's week. It's a really, really important week for Nebraska between the headsets, whether in the office, on film, or out on the road. But the reality is, that's a step back. It's the first time it's happened this year when Nebraska took a step back. And they're stuck. They're kind of stuck. Would you put them on a list of underachievers? Or would you just, they're just there. They're kind of stuck. And there's plenty of teams in college football this year that halfway through the year you'd go, underachiever. And what do you do with Nebraska? You go, they're just kind of there. That's an odd feeling to have when you could have created something different to be on the overachiever list and not be on any list at all. All right, 11:04. If you'd like to hop in the conversation, you got thoughts a couple of days after what happened in Minnesota. We've got plenty to discuss, from the man that keeps handing it to Nebraska, culture over skill, to... is the math still out there to get to 6? Going to be some high-level math. 951-1620. You can chime in on the Lanahan Nursery Zone hotline. Equitable Bank inbox is always open. Gary at 1620thezone.com or Jay Odson at nrgmedia.com or the JTech Construction Twitter feed at GarySharp1620 or the Twitter handle of the show at GarySharpShow. We're back with more after this on 1620 The Zone. All right, as we kick off a new week and we move through the middle of October, you may be in search of a vehicle. Now is a great time. Looking at a 2021, you're looking at the prices. There are fair prices and lots of inventory for you to choose at Woodhouse Place Nissan at 144th and Giles or Woodhouse Nissan in Bellevue, two places that can take care of all of your Nissan needs. You can shop the inventory in-store or online at woodhouseplacenissan.com or Woodhouse Nissan. You can find your perfect car, truck, or SUV in the new and pre-owned inventory. You can search all over the place to find the Nissan that you want. And the timely, responsive sales team, they'll guide you through your entire car buying journey, whether in person or online. And they are committed to their customers even after the sale is completed. So you've got smart and fair prices with features you want in your next car, truck, or SUV. So schedule a test drive today online to find your next vehicle. Or go to 144th and Giles. That's Woodhouse Place Nissan or Woodhouse Nissan in Bellevue.